144, sorry. Good morning. First day of spring, they tell us, and it sure feels like it, doesn't it? Or it will, anyway. A beautiful day. So good morning. Welcome to our worship service. This is the place where we are supposed to be, in God's presence. A few announcements that I'll go over before we go on. First, Cherub Choir, 3 years old through third graders. Parents, just so you know, they're singing next Sunday morning during church. Following Sunday, April 3rd, the junior choir, that's 4th through 8th grade, they will be singing. Let's see. The flowers, this bouquet, the two matching bouquets on my left, on my right, those are given in memory of Lee Palmerville by the family. We had his memorial service here this last Tuesday afternoon. And so we continue to pray for Pat in regards to this, for God's comfort to her. The Easter cantata, you see that. There's a schedule if you're singing in that. You should be aware of it. But what I want to mention is that there, during the offering time of that evening, and this is Palm Sunday evening when we always have the cantata, there will be a children's choir that will be singing. That's available for children in grades 3 through 8. They're going to be practicing right here. Amber Bradley will be directing it, but starting about noon, and I think just going for a half hour, I believe. Is that right? Yeah? Okay. Last thing I'll mention is if you want to have soup after church today, head down to the Stone Church just south of town. They're having a smorgasbord of soups at the Our Savior's Lutheran Church. Sounds pretty good. The rest of the announcements I'll let you read, please, as you have time. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we just sang of your amazing grace, we thank you for it. As we think of that acronym, Lord, that we've come up with anyway, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that is your amazing grace towards us. That as we sing, you saved a wretch like me, and that's all of us. Every single one of us, we were lost. But you reached down in your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived for us a sinless life. Jesus, you who knew no sin, became sin, and you went to that cross in our place. And how can we say thanks? We say thanks with our words, certainly. Lord, we say thanks with our lives as we take up our cross daily, deny ourselves and live for you, and help us to live for you as you empower us by the Holy Spirit of God. So, Father, we are so happy to be here today in your presence, to sing your praises, to sing of Jesus, who is our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. Thank you for filling this sanctuary with your glory and your power and your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and we will sing that number 309. I will sing of my Redeemer.
Thank you.
And aren't you glad? Amen. What a beautiful hymn and beautiful singing. Wow. Take a moment, please. Greet those around you before you're seated. God bless you. All right, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns. My wife is down in Omaha with Rachel at a bridal shower, so that's why they're not here today, but coming back sometime this afternoon, later this afternoon. Continued prayers for Elton Herbold. He spent a good part of this last week in the hospital in Yankton. They're just still trying to figure this whole thing out. So I'm not going to give really details. I don't have too much to give other than they're sort of waiting for more test results. But be praying for Elton and Myrna. I think I saw Myrna come in, maybe. Maybe not. Yes? Okay. It's, you know, probably coming on 5 months now, I bet, at least, this ordeal here. Also, just prayers again. I mentioned this last Sunday, but for Jim and Deb Christensen's great nephew. That's right, isn't it? Great nephew, Cameron Christensen, who serves in the Army full time and has been moved over to Slovakia, which is right there on the border of Ukraine. And so on that note, we continue to pray for all of our troops, but for all the people of Ukraine and the very sad, sad situation over there. That's what I had down. So anything else over here? Brian.
Mom and Dad's 62nd anniversary is today, and Jerry and Tracy's 30th anniversary is tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Willard and Darlene Gehring's 62nd anniversary is today. Terry and Tracy's 30th is tomorrow. All right, congratulations to them. Okay. Now, I know Willard and Darlene listen every Sunday, the following Sunday, to the service. They're snowbirds, so I'll come to you in a second. Okay, Leah? Jeff. That's right. This Tuesday is Stella Nuss's 101st birthday, and she is in the care center here at Menno. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. And my mom's birthday is the day after. She'll be 85 on Wednesday. So, Pat Palmerville. He did. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Just continued prayers for Pat Palmerville's family. Her brother Jim, right? He had been in hospice care, and he's in Oregon, passed the same day as Lee's funeral was. So sorry to hear that, Pat. This is Pat's brother, Jim Blazer. Okay. Was there another one? No? Okay. Yeah, Cheryl. Today is Raylan Taylor's birthday. Where is she? Right there, yes. Happy birthday, Raylan, number 10. Okay. Yeah, Amber. All right, this coming. Yeah, Amber and Brian Cross. They're new members in our community of Menno within this last year, and Brian's birthday is this coming Saturday. Happy birthday, Brian. And welcome to Menno. I know you're nearing the end of the first school year already, but we're glad to have you. Yes, Leah.
Trent's birthday is tomorrow.
Trent Crick's birthday is tomorrow. Are you going to be 10 as well? Okay. Happy birthday. Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the birthdays today and tomorrow and anniversaries today and tomorrow and the next day, Stella, 101. That just is so wonderful, Lord, and thank you for watching over her, and 62 years of wedding for Willard and Darlene, and everywhere in between. We just lift all of these to you and rejoice with them and thank you for your blessings on each of these lives and their families. Father, we pray for Elton Herbold and Myrna. Lord, you know all things, you do, and you know exactly what's going on there within Elton's body, causing the struggling, the pain, the suffering. And Lord, we ask for wisdom. We ask for healing. Still, Lord, you've given great wisdom to medical science and homeopathic as well and all across the board. And yet, there are so much yet of these bodies that is still a mystery. Father, how amazing. It puzzles me that people think this all just sort of happened and you were not involved. As complex as you made us. So as a congregation, Lord, we join together just asking for wisdom with the situation that Elton's dealing with. Wisdom to the doctors. Wisdom if there's something that is not being seen. We ask for healing throughout his body, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray for strength to him and Myrna and the family as they're all involved in his care and getting him here and there that needs to be. Thank you for your strength to them. I pray for our troops. Lord, we're in a very tense time all the way around the world, but especially those that are stationed like Cameron Christensen and others in Slovakia and Poland and those other countries there bordering the Ukraine. And we pray for our leaders, our president and vice president, our military advisors, our congressmen and women. Father, again, we look to you for wisdom. You know the whole picture of every event worldwide. You know the timing of the return of Christ and how the nations have to move for that to happen, how things have to line up. We don't, Lord. So we ask for your guidance and wisdom in this situation. But Father, we ask for your mercy to the people of Ukraine, the suffering, the bombings of hospitals and nurseries and just indiscriminately. Lord, we ask for your divine intervention that this would stop, Father, in Jesus' name. You are Lord of the nations, and we pray for our nation, asking as always, every week and many times in between for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us. As we were founded upon you and your word, Lord, forgive us as we have strayed so far from that. Lord, we need the work of your Spirit across this land to turn hearts and lives to you, Jesus, number one, and back to your word. We thank you by faith for what you are doing. We pray, Lord, for rain, there's some forecast this week, and Father, you are the one who gives the rain, and you know that we need it. We desperately are going to need it, and we trust you for that to come, the right amounts at the right time. Be with those, the farmers, calving, lambing, and all that that entails, the limited hours of sleep and the struggles, Lord, keep them safe. I pray for our truck drivers across the nation, Lord. They are so important for the commerce across the country. And thank you for them, the hours they put in. Keep them safe across our highways and interstates. Lord, thank you for all of these things. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, Jesus answered, this was when the devil was tempting him, told him to turn this rock into a piece of bread, a loaf of bread. Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology together, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
So, Father, we do praise you. Praise you with our voices. We praise you with our gifts, our offerings, our tithes, as we bring them here to this storehouse. As we put them in that box, Lord. We're not just dropping money in a box. Jesus, I think of the time when you sat by the box at the temple. You sat there and watched. You saw that woman that put in those two mites, the widow's mites, as we call it. And she gave more than anybody because she gave all that she had. And so we give, Lord, for the work of your kingdom. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst here, in our region. Help us to be faithful to proclaim the truth of your word. Help us, Jesus, to always honor you as the head of the church universal and this local church. For this is your church, Jesus, and you are the head. In Jesus' name. And we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let me pray one more thing. I just recalled there as we were praying, Lord, for Pat Palmerville and family, the homegoing of her husband, Lee, and the homegoing of her brother, Jim, on the same day of Lee's funeral. Lord, I am reminded of the verse in the Old Testament when you spoke to the children of Israel through the struggles of the wilderness, and you said to them, "Don't you remember how I carried you on eagle's wings?" I pray that for Pat and family, with all they've been through so much, that you carry them on eagle's wings in the days and weeks and months to come. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The children, come, please. And Johnny is going to do the kids' time for us today.
Good morning. Everybody looks so nice this morning, so colorful and smiling. Ooh, I love that. I have a question for you. Have you ever been to a restaurant or a cafe with your parents where you had to wait to be seated? Anybody? Yeah. What's some of your favorite restaurants? El Tapatio, ooh, rep Mexican. Jodine's. Roosters. I don't know if you have to be waited to be seated there, but that's a good restaurant. One more. Buffalo Wild Wings. Ooh, that's some spicy stuff. Okay. Well, after a while, the host comes and says, follow me, you know. Where would you like to sit, in a booth or a table? And then she grabs some menus, right? And she seats you, and she says, your server, so-and-so, will be with you soon, right? And here comes the server a little bit later, and sometimes they bring you water, each glass of water, and sometimes they don't. But then they ask you, what else would you want to drink? And I'm sure most of you guys say coffee, right? Well, that's what I say. Unless I'm really thirsty, then I go for a pop. But anyway, well, then she brings you the food, she takes your order, and then she brings your food later, and then you eat it, and you feel so full that you're miserable, right? And that's usually how it happens in restaurants. They give you so much food. Now, if God had a place where you could eat, and he called it God's Way Cafe, would you go? You would go, wouldn't you? Because there'd be such good food there, right? It'd be out of this world tasting good, I'm sure. So what kind of food do you think he would have there? Kind of a hard one, isn't it? What kind of, well, I think, just I'm using my imagination now, I think he'd have a burger called the Big Daddy. What do you think? Because Jesus, or God, is our daddy, Heavenly Father, right? And he does a lot of big things for us. He supplies our food and our home and protection and a lot of things. And I think he'd have another burger called the King Jesus Deluxe. You know what deluxe is? It's like you got lettuce and tomatoes on the hamburger. It's kind of like a deluxe. And since Jesus has so many different names, like Savior, Redeemer, the Bread of Life, Lamb of God, the Word, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, I think God would supply a lot of different toppings for Jesus' burger. And I think the French fries would be free at God's Way Cafe. Wouldn't that be cool? If you ordered a King James or King Jesus Deluxe. You know, because the fries, you know what they're called? Forgiveness fries. That would be free because Jesus died so we could be forgiven, right? And I think he'd also make so many fries that he'd want us to share with somebody that didn't have the King Jesus Deluxe. He wants us to share about Jesus, right? That's kind of what that means. You know, I think he'd even have a tossed salad called Salvation Salad. And it would come with all these different dressings that you've never tasted before, like a dressing called Freedom Salad or Freedom Dressing. You know, Jesus set us free from our sin when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And he'd probably have another dressing called Joyful Dressing, because there's joy in the Lord when we are in his presence. He'd even have a dressing called, I Can't Believe This Is Dressing, because it's so good. It's out of this world, right? Well, we can't forget dessert. I think he'd have my favorite dessert, which is peach pie. He would have a pie called God's Peace Peach Pie. You know, in the world we live in, there's a lot of struggles. And God, if we stay close to God, he gives us peace. Well, this is probably not what God would have on his menu, but I think he does things different than we do, right? In Isaiah 55, it's 8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. You know, I think we'd have Jesus at the door as the host. He would have Jesus at the door as the host. He'd be standing there all the time, Jesus. When you come in, he would say, welcome. And he would say, come follow me. And, you know, in the Bible it says Jesus is the door. It says in John 10:9, I am the door. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Well, we don't need to find good pastures, but we need to find good food, right? And that's what Jesus, God, has for us. Then Jesus follows me, and he only grabs one menu. Why would he only grab one menu? So then he seats us in our chairs, and then he pulls up a chair himself and sits with us. And he starts to read the menu of all the things that God has to offer us. You know, this is a picture of Jesus and his disciples following him so they could tell what, so he could tell what God has to offer and what God's plan for their lives were. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, a lot of scripture here today, enter, tells us, for I know the plan I have for you, a plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Often we have our own plans, don't we? It's like having our own menus and telling God, I'll have it my way. Jesus tells us in Revelations 3:20, if anyone hears my voice, open the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. You know, God's ultimate goal is to what? make us disciples so we could follow him and tell others the good news, right? And what's the good news? Good news is the gospel message. Jesus died and rose again from the dead for our sins. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, right? We want to be fed by him, so we want to hear his word, which feeds our heart. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us clean hands so that the things of this world will not be more important than you. Give us pure hearts so that we can prepare us for the plan you have for us. May we be children that desire to sit at the table with Jesus, to see all the wonderful things you have to offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, I have some kisses for each one of you guys, not from here, but from Miss Sack here. It's a kind of reminder of Jesus' love for us and our love for him, okay?
Thank you, Johnny, for doing that. Very good. While the kids are getting their kisses and going back to their seats, we're going to sing. It's number 54 in the praise book, or 91 in your hymnal, In Moments Like These. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, with all of our hearts, we sing that to you. Our love for you. For your love for us is so incredible. As you said, it's how can we understand the depth and width and height and length of your love that surpasses knowledge? But we thank you for it. And Lord, I thank you for these children, all these beautiful children seated up here this morning for the Kingdom Kids time, for the families that they are a part of. I thank you for the parents that make it a priority to have their little ones here on this day that we set apart for you. Bless them, bless their homes, the busyness that it takes, the time it takes to get them all ready to go. And sometimes the frustrations that are involved with it, especially in a day where so many don't make it a priority. Thank you. Thank you for blessing all here today and those who aren't able to be here for various reasons. But Lord, as we look into your word, as always, we ask that you'd speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to draw near to you. In Jesus' name, and I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here. Amen. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, starting in verse 7 this morning. So just a quick review, we're on this theme during this Lenten season, up to Jerusalem. And so we started on Ash Wednesday with Jesus and the disciples. As they were going from Jericho, they went up the Mount of Olives to Bethany, which is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. And they get there on the Friday, the week before Good Friday, as we call it. They get there that afternoon. They stay there, very likely at Lazarus's home. Friday evening, sunset, if you remember, starts the Sabbath. So Saturday is the Sabbath. Saturday evening at sunset, the Sabbath is over. And there is a dinner given in honor of Jesus at Simon the leper's home. So that he's with his friends. That's what we talked about that day. Then that next Sunday, I'm sorry, I put two in one. That he went up to Jerusalem, that was one. The dinner with the friends was another one. Got to look at my own notes here. Sunday, we were at last Sunday. We looked at Palm Sunday, even though that isn't yet. Palm Sunday this year is April the 10th. It is Confirmation Sunday. That doesn't mean you stay away, though. The kids will still bring the palm branches in. So let's have a bunch of them here, okay? Talked about that this last Wednesday night. Then on Monday, he goes back to Jerusalem, sees all the chaos going on in the temple, chases out the money changers, those that are selling the lambs and the turtle doves and all of that. And he said, my house, this is his house, right? My house will be called a house of prayer. And so it is. So today, we're going to pick up later in the week, actually on Thursday, so Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Let me just pause a second there because I'm not... Until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God, what he was going to fulfill this feast on the cross the next day, all right? That's what that blip is talking about. Verse 17, going on. And taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So another phrase right there, similar to verse 16, but this is different. And until the kingdom of God comes, that's talking about his second coming. I just want to throw this in now because I'm not focusing on that in the sermon. Verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. Of course, that was Judas Iscariot. They begin to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Amen. Okay, let's go into this today. I'm going to focus on this, the upper room, the time there in that upper room. So this then, we are now to Thursday of this week. It is Thursday evening. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread. The day, so we think, of course, when our day starts just after midnight, right? Till the following time at midnight. When someone passes away, if it's 3 a.m, we usually don't say last night, do we? We usually say, well, they passed early this morning. And so the day of their death is that day. If it was 3 a.m, March 20th. But in the Jewish system and culture of that day, it was different. Their day started, as I said a little bit ago, at sunset. So on this Thursday evening, sunset is when the day of unleavened bread began, and it went till the next day at sunset, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Had to be sacrificed. So I'm saying this because you might be thinking, well, why wasn't he on the cross on Thursday? Well, this is why. Because that Thursday evening just started that day. He had to be on the cross that Friday afternoon for sure by 3:00. Well, we know, and this is a whole nother sermon, it was 9:00 Friday morning. They nailed him to the cross. He hung there 6 hours for you and me. At 3:00, he gave up his spirit to the Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last. And it was exactly at that time when in Jerusalem, in the temple, there the people were bringing their Passover lambs to be slaughtered, not knowing, not realizing that here was the Passover lamb of God, fulfilling it for all time, being slaughtered on the cross for our sins. Pretty cool, right? He had exactly the timing of it. This night, though, this Thursday evening, be probably about 5 or 6 hours in this upper room, Jesus revealed so much information to the 12 during that night, more than really probably any other time in his 3.5 years of ministry, at least is what's recorded in Scripture. He gave them an incredible amount of information in that very short time. And that's what we're going to look at. So he said, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go, make preparations for us to eat the Passover. They said, where? Where do you want us to prepare for it? He says, as you enter the city, that's Jerusalem, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Now you got to realize Jerusalem is as packed for Passover as Sturgis would be for the rally. Packed. And so no names are given here. He just says, a man carrying a jar of water. That the distinctive part is, from what I've read, is usually the women would be carrying the jars of water probably on their heads, as you've seen. The men would be carrying more a skin of water, you know, or like they would carry wine in an animal skin. That. So that was one thing they could watch for. All right, follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house. So that wasn't even this guy. They're just following him. The teacher asks, so Jesus' name wasn't even given here. I'll tell you why I think that is in a second. The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. So they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Why? Why no names given? Why no details given to the 12? Not even to Peter and John other than that. My one thought is because by this time, Judas Iscariot had already made his deal with the Pharisees to betray him. And Jesus, again, I say this every year, I'm sure. You got to know he was in control of every detail all the time. Nothing caught him by surprise. He was in charge all the way, and he knew where the betrayal had to happen in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew when he had to be on that cross and everything. So Judas was not going to mess it up. That's why no details given. So he is going to have, but Judas is there then. He is there that night. This is going to be a very intimate evening with just the 12. And as I said before, he's revealing all these awesome details of himself and far beyond on that night. This room, the upper room, as we go through, I haven't got to the outline yet if you're wondering, okay? I think Jesus wants us to have an upper room in our lives, a place where we go to be with him. Yes, church, yes, corporately, yes. I'm talking one-on-one with him. So as we're working through this, I want you to think about that in your own life. Do I have a part of my life, an area of my life that is devoted to fellowship just with him, being with Jesus? This upper room in our lives should take priority, really, above all the other rooms. Think of your own house. You have your living room, what goes on there. You have your bedroom. You have your kitchen. You have all these rooms designated for purposes. Maybe some of you guys have a man cave. Maybe some of you ladies have a she shed. As they call it. I like that commercial. My she shed's on fire. But she had the right insurance, right? Whatever the commercial was. My she shed's burning down. Okay, maybe that she shed or that man cave could be that place. There should be a place. Maybe it's in the tractor. Maybe it's in the truck. Maybe it's in your basement, wherever. It should take priority above the other rooms. It should be uppermost. Now, what takes place on this night that we're talking, this Thursday night, in the upper room of Jesus with his disciples? And that's where we get our cue of what should be happening in our upper room, that place we go to be with Jesus. Number one, it should be a place of self-examination. That we have that time where we're able to get away with our struggles, our temptations, whatever they might be, a place of self-examination. Because that is what happens when we come together here. So often I have people say something to me following a service or in the days following, boy, you sure were talking to me, Pastor Mike. Well, I never put a sermon together with any one individual in mind. So I always said, it was the Holy Spirit. If he's speaking to you, that was him, not me. What happens in this place? Letter A. This can be exposed. Smoldering pride. Smoldering pride. Why do I say smoldering? We all know about that, right? I know I heard the fire whistle go yesterday. I think I'd heard it go the day before. Never really did hear where either one was at. But smoldering, if something's smoldering, it's just working its way on the inside, right? So it can go unnoticed for a long time. Think about hay bales as they're made, the big round bales, or when they used to have the big hay stacks and maybe too wet, and then it gets real hot and that just smolders. You don't even know it's there till all of a sudden, whoa, there's the fire. And this night is where something that had been building within the 12 disciples spills out. There were glimpses of it before, and what was that? Their pride. Where I stopped reading in Luke's gospel, verse 24, verse 23 is where I stopped. Verse 24 says this, on that night before the cross, also a dispute arose among the 12 as to who would be considered the greatest. Really? Just wonder sometimes what Jesus thought. He's getting ready to be nailed to the cross, and they're having an argument about who's the most important among the 12. And he addresses it. See, that's what come out in this time. Verse 26, he says, you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the least. The one who rules should be like the one who serves. What's he asking for? Humility. And what does he do going on? in John chapter 13 to really get him to see their pride? You know, he kneels down and washes their feet. The task of the lowest servant was that. Their feet were generally filthy. One of them should have been doing it as they were all getting in there. Nobody did it, and he does. And Peter, no, 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 you know, and that's a whole nother sermon too. It was exposed. How about the second thing that was exposed that night? The betrayal. Betrayal, that's your letter B there, of Judas Iscariot. Then this night, being alone, just Jesus and the 12, brought out the darkest intentions that were in Judas's heart, the betrayal. We saw a little of that earlier when they were having that supper up on the Mount of Olives, and Mary broke that jar of expensive perfume and anointed his body. We saw some of it, but here it really comes out. Verse 20, when Jesus takes the cup, this covenant is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you. And then what does Jesus say? And the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on this table. He knows it. And Jesus knew it all along. Even when he called him to be a follower, he knew it. If we go to Matthew's gospel, it says there, Judas Iscariot says, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus said, "It's you. It's you." Letter C. So what's the result? Each of these points I want to look. So what's the result for us as we have this time with the Lord and we and this self-examination time? And what was the result here? When we get that time with him, there is a greater strength to stand. A greater strength to stand against the devil's attacks. He gives that to us. Because the devil is always trying to devour, to destroy, to discourage, to defeat us. And we have to draw that strength from him. We just have to do it two times. So if you read John's gospel, you start John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Five chapters is what Jesus is talking and doing in the upper room on that night. All five. Incredible stuff. So with this, I'm trying to, in addition to Luke, focus on that John. So this is part of Jesus' prayer for them in that upper room, John chapter 17. Listen, verse 11. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. He's praying it. Verse 15. My prayer, Father, he's praying to the Father, is not that you take them out of the world. Sometimes we think that'd be much better if it's a really tough trial. Not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. That's his prayer for us. And when we get away, that's what happens. This week, not going into details, but it was a challenging week. I have to say, a frustrating week in many ways, in more ways than one. And I think Friday, I'm trying to work on the sermon, and you know, I get focused on that. I'm no different than you. And then all these other thoughts start bombarding, and I'm just like, oh, and then I'm focused on that. And then it's like, no, no. And then I get back over, okay, here. And then back, and you know how it goes. Well, what did I do? That's enough. Okay. Opening to somewhere else in the Word. I went to Psalms. Okay, Lord. I just need some time with you right now. I need your peace. I need all this stuff to just be done in my head. Push it out in Jesus' name and focus on you. And I did. Then I went back to the sermon. I can't say I got it done Friday because somebody knows I didn't. I was back at it yesterday. But I did get it done. But you just get away. Get to the Word. That's what we have to do. All right, second, I better get on with the message, right? His Word revealed. That's what happens in this upper room. When we pull away with him, his Word, the truth comes. Revelation knowledge, we call it, by the Holy Spirit of God. As I said before, in this upper room that night, there is no greater amount of information that Jesus reveals to the 12 than on this night. I'm going to go, each one of these letters, A through D, could be a whole sermon in itself, so I'm just going to touch on them quickly. What did Jesus reveal in that night? One of the things, letter A, his person. In other words, his character, who he is. What he revealed in John 17 and John 10, which wasn't that night, but John 17 was, I and the Father are one. He's telling them that. What else does he reveal on that night? Right there, John 14 is on that night. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. His character, letter B, what he reveals to them now, details of prayer in that night. John 16, he says, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. See, prayer was going to change now for them after the cross. Now they were to start asking in his name. That's why confirmation, kids, we go through this all the time. We pray to the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Why in Jesus' name? Because that's where the power is. That's why our secular world does not want Jesus' name mentioned at the end of a prayer in public settings. Oh, because the devil hates it. See, he's given them, tell them about the preparations of heaven on that night. John 14, 2, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, that's heaven, are many what? Rooms or? Mansions for the older ones, right? You learned at rooms, we learned at mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Letter D. He gives them the details of the Holy Spirit who's coming to be their helper. Two times, John 16, he says this, unless I go away, the counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come. He says, it's for your good that I'm going away. They can't see it. Just like a lot of times, especially children, if it's one of the first early times that mom and dad are going to be gone for a while, they have a hard time for that. Unless they're just one that goes to whoever, then maybe they aren't so bothered by it. But a lot of them do, right? And these 12 were struggling with this. He said, I've got to go away. It's for your good. Or else the counselor will not come. And John 14, I will ask the Father. He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He's revealing all that to them. What's the result of this one? Of time, in his word, the revelation of it, the answer, a greater understanding of Jesus, who he is, and his word. In the end of chapter 16, the disciples, they say, now, the disciples said, now you're speaking clearly, Jesus, and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, that you do not need to have anyone ask you questions. Listen to their next statement, John 16, verse 30. This makes us believe that you came from God. It's like, boom, boom, light bulbs are going on, right? Because they're at that intimate time with him, and that's how it works with us, with his word. The Holy Spirit gives that. One more, but just a quick example here. And this back to my college years up at SDSU, and which was a time of great spiritual growth for my walk in Christ. And that was the day of the Walkman. How many remember what the Walkman was? Show your age. Thank you. Yeah, that little box, and you put a cassette tape in there, and you had the wire, and the headphones come on the ears. Now you just got things you stick in your ears, and they wirelessly go to your phone. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought? And I was so, I mean, I just couldn't get enough of God and his word, and I bought a cassette tapes of the New Testament, stick it in there. I'd listen to it if I was walking, wherever. I even at night, before I'd go to sleep, I'd put that on my ears, get it to go, and then I'd fall asleep, and of course, when the one side was done, click, flip it over. Then all of a sudden, would you know, they advanced it, and it would repeat itself automatically. Was that amazing? It could go all night, and it'd just go until you got tangled up in the headphones, and okay, that's enough of that. So in his word, he reveals things to us. Last point here. What takes place in the upper room? Obviously, prayer. Prayer. Self-examination, number one. You spend time, yes, God will reveal things to you, to me, of, okay, you know that area in your life? Let's work on that. Whatever it is. He reveals his word and then prayer. John 17, that whole chapter is called the High Priestly Prayer. It's an awesome prayer. And when we go to prayer, we are realizing we're drawing strength from someone who is greater than ourselves. Truly, we do. We get to know him that way. How many times, so many times, even right here in Menno, people will ask me, oh, do you know so-and-so? I'll say, this might be my answer. Well, I know of him, or I know of her, but I don't know them. I just know who they are. Well, Jesus wants us to know him intimately, as you know husband and wife, as you know each other. He wants you to know him like that. Be guidance. Guidance is available there for whatever question you're struggling with. It doesn't mean it's just going to come, bam. Wish it would. Most often it doesn't. Doesn't mean it's going to come in that place of prayer. A lot of times for me, it's as I'm doing something else. Totally unrelated. All of a sudden, there it is. Oh, I see it now. John 16 again. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What's the result of this time in the upper room? Greater fruit. Greater fruit in our lives. And John 15, all these verses through those five chapters. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Look at all the fruit that was produced, has been and still is, from Jesus Christ. His prayer that night, his prayer in Gethsemane. You know what the followers of his did after he ascended into heaven? Remember, he rose from the dead. Easter, we celebrate that. 40 days later is his ascension into heaven. Before he ascended, he said, you go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. So they do. They go to an upper room. Some commentaries say it could have been the same one. Others say, we don't really know. But it was called an upper room. And this time, they Scripture says there was 120 of them, men and women. And you know what they did? For 10 days until Pentecost Sunday, Acts 1 says, when they arrived to Jerusalem, they went upstairs to the room where they had been staying. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women. So I guess ask yourselves, do I have a place where I go? Or am I too busy even for that? Don't be too busy for that. I think there's a quote from Martin Luther once that he said, I have so much to do today and I am so busy, I have to spend 3 hours in prayer first. But to God, that would be our attitude. Instead, we're usually the opposite. I am so busy today, I have no time to spend in prayer. Got to think about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the picture here of that night in the upper room. All that you revealed. Lord, if we don't have a place, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about where that could be. Could be anywhere. And help us to do it. To have that intimate time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have to say, well, before the closing hymn, which is going to be 552, when we were in Israel, we did go to the upper room. It'd be pretty hard to know if that especially was the place. And that, unfortunately, was such a rushed time through the old city of Jerusalem, the streets so narrow. They were full of people that day. We had to get to another place in the old city for lunch, and they were just, come on, come on, come on. And then, okay, this is the upper room, and we go up there, and there was lots of others there, and I don't remember much of that at all. Yeah, I don't even have a picture of it hardly in my mind. It wasn't furnished. It was just a big room. So that, but otherwise the trip was awesome, wonderful. 552, let's stand together. I am thine, O Lord. That is our prayer. Please receive the benediction. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And we will sing as a prayer for our nation, God Bless America.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music today. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.